We didn't get a wow, but we did get a how. I'll take it. How's it going? Welcome back, one and all, to the next episode of Pod Freak. To be specific, I believe it is the 11th episode of Pod Freak. Let me do my obligatory, traditional checking of the episode from last week. Episode 11. And this week we are going through the fourth episode of Loki. Now, there's a lot of ground I want to cover with this one, and I don't know exactly where to start. Actually, before we get into Loki, I do want to apologize. Last week I said that Kate Herron plays Sylvie. It is actually not Kate Herron. That was the director. I glanced. That's what you do when you try to research these things on the fly. You glance at your phone, you see a name, and you go with it. It is Sophia DiMartino, or is it Del Martino? Yeah, I'm going to look it up and make sure I get it right this week, because after last week, I can't get it wrong 2 weeks in a row. That would just be awful. Sophia DiMartino. I'll just search that. I'm sure it'll bring up the right person. Here she is. This is riveting radio, I'm sure. Yeah, Sophia DiMartino, not Del Martino. Nailed it. Cool. So that is actually who plays Sylvie / Lady Loki. So there's that. Sorry about that. Now we will get into the spoilery stuff in 3, 2, 1. So the first thing that I want to jump into is a continuation of our conversation last week in regards to the show's LGBTQ elements, because they dove a little deeper this week, and in a way that honestly hits a little bit closer to home for me as someone who is het cis, but, you know, is completely supportive of people who live different lifestyles, and everyone should just be loved and respected for who they are. Even if we lead different lifestyles, that's always kind of been where I come from with that. But this one actually, it may not have even been intentional, but it was the way I interpreted it. But I want to be careful when dealing with this subject, because now we're going to open it up a little bit past the just general obvious idea that LGBTQ plus people deserve respect and love, and go into a little bit more nuance of it. I should probably just stop stalling and kind of get into what I'm talking about. So I'll just go right into it. The first thing, and this is not what I was talking about going close to home, but the first thing that I wanted to touch on is I talked about how I didn't think they were going to do a Loki on Loki romance storyline because it would just be a little too weird. But as it turns out, that's exactly the reason they want to do it. While they were brave enough to go ahead and canonically make Loki bisexual in the MCU, they, I guess, weren't ready to deal with that on screen, to deal with the types of elements that we were talking about last week. So they are almost kind of embodying that in like a living metaphor through how it is odd or unorthodox that Loki would be attracted to themselves, right? Mobius kind of struck on that, and they kind of hinted at these ideas of insecurities about how other people would find that weird, or other people would say they can't do that. And then they also brought it back to the idea of being yourself, being who you want to be, not who the timekeepers have dictated that you must be. So they are very much using those undertones and those themes in building this story of queer acceptance, which is really cool. The part that hits a little bit close to home for me, and I don't know if it is intentional or if it is just happenstance, but when you talk about the themes of identity in the show and people being or not being who they think they're supposed to be or who they feel like they are being made to be, the person who dictates what they're supposed to be is the TVA. Fittingly enough, the TVA is made up of people who have been brainwashed into accepting what they have decreed is canon, what they have decreed must happen, what must be. They have been basically the soldiers forcing people to act a certain way and be the identity that was determined are being portrayed as people who have been brainwashed in a sympathetic way into doing so, and been taken away from their own lives and their own identity. And I think this may be an allegory for the evangelical church. I don't know if it's intentional or if it's just happenstance, but as someone watching it, that's how it hit for me. And as someone who does identify as a Christ follower and does believe in spreading the gospel, but has grown hesitant to accept the term evangelical because of the baggage that is associated with that, that was something that kind of hit home for me. And I said I was going to have to be careful with how we go about this to make sure everyone feels respected and understood, but I don't know if we necessarily need to go deeper than that, because that kind of gets across the point that I want to make. I guess maybe the reason it hurts and hits close to home is not because it's completely invalid. You know, I think that an old Mitchell response to this would have been to jump immediately to being offended or feeling attacked. But now I just kind of get sad because there is truth to it. And while I never will dismiss anyone for living by a religious conviction that they have, where the brainwashing comes in is the need for control over other people whose lives are not your own, and the refusal to accept, respect, and love them for who they have chosen to be. If they're not hurting anybody, it's not your problem. It doesn't matter how deep your religious convictions are. They are a friend. I said I wouldn't get the stuff I had to be careful about, but here I am. And I hope that you hear me and understand when I say that you can choose to abstain from something for yourself without demonizing or hating other people who have not made that same choice, as long as they are not hurting anyone else. And that is what the TVA is doing in this show, and that's what they are an allegory for. And part of the reason it hits close to home and hurts for me is because it's coming to terms with the shortcomings of the organization that I have based my identity around my entire life. And I won't go much deeper than this because this is not a theology podcast, but perhaps part of the problem is that I based my identities in those manipulative organizations instead of in Christ. And none of that is to negate the importance of fellowship. It's just to acknowledge that there comes a point where you have to stop making excuses for something and wonder, hey, maybe this isn't just a broken place full of broken people, which it should be. Maybe this is a place full of people who are not actually following Christ. I think that's all I really want to say on that. And just to kind of cover all my bases, if you are a member of the LGBTQ plus community, I love you. If you are a member of the evangelical church, I love you. And I just want everyone to love and respect one another. And I think this show is dealing with those elements in a really creative way. And I, like I said, I don't know if that was intentional, but I really feel like it might have been. So now that we found another topic, I guess it's kind of a continuation of the same topic from last week, to extend this podcast way longer than it needs to be, I'm probably going to end up having to edit the YouTube version and that other app again that I don't like using as much, because I think that the one I like using has like a time cutoff because it's like a mobile editor, but that's neither here nor there. That's not your problem. Let's talk about the less heavy stuff from the episode. I say less heavy in the sense that it doesn't necessarily reflect in the real world, more heavy in the sense that my heart is broken. The fact that they killed off Mobius. And on, I guess now we figured out that he's probably still out there somehow by the post-credit scene, but we didn't know that at first. They were taking us on a freaking roller coaster of emotions. I simultaneously loved and hated it. And in some ways, I kind of wish that he actually were dead, because then the weight of that moment would hit so much harder. But I am glad that his character has a chance at going further in the MCU. I think that's part of the reason it hits so hard, because it's so rare that you kill off a character that we have this much of an affinity for this quickly, and it actually sticks. And come to find out, that's because it's probably not going to stick, because who else died? Loki, for the millionth time. And then he wakes up in the post-credit scene, and he's staring at three other Loki variants, and life is weird. But regardless of if they took it away, in the moment, that weight still of those deaths still hit very, very strong for me. And it was probably some of the most emotions I felt watching a Marvel movie. Like, even like Tony's death, like, it felt... there was more weight in Tony's death in the sense that it had been built up to for over a decade. But by the same token, like, you knew how likely of a possibility that was. Whereas both Mobius and Loki being taken out by the TVA is something that you were not expecting until the moment that it happened. And then, of course, we figure out that the Timekeepers are just a bunch of robots. So who's controlling them? I know the leading theory is Kang the Conqueror, but even then, I'm sure they have an explanation. I'm sure they have a reason. I'm sure they have figured out what direction they want to go with this. And when we learn it, it's going to be like, oh, that makes sense. But looking at it right now, it's like, if this is not an organization who is devoted to maintaining a sacred timeline, then what the crap are they doing? The best idea that I've heard is perhaps these timelines, and this was even before we knew for sure, this is after episode 3, so before episode 4, and before we knew about the Timekeepers just being a bunch of horse crap. I think the best idea I had heard was that perhaps the issue is that they are not trying to maintain the timeline that is necessary to avoid a cataclysmic war. Perhaps they're using this organization to create a timeline in which they cannot be challenged, in a timeline in which they stand the best chance of accomplishing whatever their evil goal may be it an evil goal from Kang the Conqueror or someone else. And that seems like the most likely explanation, but I almost hope that it's not, because I love that comic books have such a rich history and lore to delve into. And I love that the MCU has a really great commitment to comic accuracy. Even when they take liberties with like story directions, they stay true to the hearts of the characters and like what made them special and what made them tick. And I love that about them. The problem is that all the fans are too smart. You're all too smart. It's like we have the direction of Phase 4 telegraphed basically before Loki's even on Disney Plus. And for me, it would be really fun if whatever direction we're going is not only great and well written, but something that, I won't say something that nobody predicted, but something that was not a commonly held theory or direction. Like, throughout all of WandaVision, near the end of it, I was very disenfranchised with it, because it was like Mephisto's existence had been telegraphed from the beginning, and everyone just told me after week one, oh yeah, you're gonna fight this big demon guy. So it was very validating and very enjoyable when the ending story was not what I had been told it was going to be weeks prior. And I love speculating, I love theorizing, that's why I have this podcast right now. But I just, sometimes it feels like some people are just so good at it that it takes some of the magic out of it. So I like when Marvel is able to surprise us. And I hope that's the case with whatever ends up happening with the TVA and why the heck they exist. I felt like there were other facets that I wanted to dive into. We talked about the LGBTQ+ stuff. We talked about the people they killed off. We talked about what direction they're going with the Timekeepers. We kind of touched on, oh, actually, this is something I want to talk about, and this is a continuation once again of last week. And I suppose what we could go to find out is that what we've been told about the timeline and the way we understand it is not actually the way that it works. But I still stand by my complaint from last week, almost even more so, because the flashback with Sylvie growing up in Asgard, and they kind of explained it, but in a very unsatisfactory way. She was born, she did not shapeshift into a woman the way I theorize that she must in order for the timeline rules to make sense, where she decided that after she was on the run. She was born a female. It wasn't a gender identity thing. Our Loki that we know was born male, she was born female, but she lived in Asgard as a female for years before she did something wrong to set her off of the quote-unquote sacred timeline. Now, clearly the sacred timeline thing is a load of crap, but the general rules behind the way the timeline functions and the way the TVA targets their people should still remain true, which is something happened that caused a Nexus event that redlined and they weren't able to reset it, that set in course a motion of events that created a whole new reality. And in my mind, if you have one timeline where Loki is born a male and one timeline where Loki is born a female, or is any of the three Lokis that we saw in wherever our Loki woke up, would that not indicate that we are already living alongside multiple timelines with Nexus events? Because the way they like explained at the beginning of the show is our Loki took the Tesseract and fled to the desert, which doesn't happen in the original sacred timeline. So bada bing, bada boom, they arrest him. He's out of there. They reset everything and it's like nothing ever changed. So in what universes, I guess the ones they come from, are we getting a black Loki, a female Loki, an older Loki? The black Loki was also wielding Mjolnir. Where do we get these versions of Loki in which alternate timelines have not already been created? Unless they just reset those timelines, but I thought that once they redlined, you couldn't. I suppose that the explanation they were giving, because Sylvie, she said that, what was it that I did that set me off the path? Or she mentioned something about, like, eventually I had done something wrong enough to not be deemed on the sacred timeline or whatever. If the whole point is that you're creating a whole alternate reality where things happen differently, well, then having a female Loki, having a black Loki wielding Mjolnir, person of color, has already created alternate realities. The timelines are already there. And I don't know if this is going to be a thing where we're just not supposed to think about it that hard and the rules are going to be a little loose so that way they can do the fun stuff, right? Like the willing suspension of disbelief so that we can see this awesome Loki team up with all these different types of Lokis, almost like from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Or if the way it's been explained to us thus far is incorrect or false and we're going to get an updated, more accurate version of timeline rules by the end of the series. I hope it's the latter. I can absolutely suspend my disbelief, but they spent so much time explaining a canonical and compelling explanation for the way alternate realities work that it would be a shame if they just put in that amazing canonical explanation just to ignore it when they wanted to do cool stuff. Because at that point, I almost would rather they just be like, oh yeah, I mean, people act differently than there are different timelines. Boom, you know, that's it. Which I don't know. I think you get my point. We're hitting 19 minutes, and I feel like there was something else I wanted to cover, but I can't remember what it is right now, and I don't really want to go much longer than 20 minutes. So that is going to be it for this week. As always, follow me on TikTok for video game content, Clockworth Clone. Follow me on Twitter for just talking about the show. Please continue the conversation there, @ Clockworth Clone. No one's taken me up on it yet. You could be the first. I'm not even going to bother with Instagram and YouTube. That is all I've got for you. I cannot wait to see how they tie up these loose ends in episode 5. See you next week.